Welcome to the very first Brujo Ryan podcast. My name is Ryan, and I'm going to be your host. Tonight we're going to be talking to Mama Sunfire, who is the queen of hoodoo on TikTok. I've become quite popular on TikTok myself, accruing about 65,000 followers, and it's been really great. And I decided that I wanted to interview other people on Witch Talk that I find to have amazing content, are amazing spiritual practitioners who are very inspirational, and Mama Sunfire is at the top of my list. So welcome, welcome, welcome. And without further ado, we are going to interview Mama Sunfire now, right after an announcement. Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me okay?
I can indeed. Nice and clear.
Hey, everybody. It's Brujo Ryan on the first Brujo Ryan podcast, and we have got Mama Sunfire right here on the phone. She was your number one most requested TikToker to be interviewed, and we love you. That's the truth.
Oh, I love you guys too.
So, yeah, I mean, you have such an amazing and interesting story, and your content is always fresh, and you bring so much information, but you also bring so much like entertainment and fun to all of your TikToks. And I guess the big question is, what made you get on TikTok? Like, what brought you to it?
You want the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the truth is, a friend of mine from Facebook, I'm a Facebook person, or I was a Facebook person. And she did a lot of TikToks, which I thought were really funny. And she said, hey, why don't you try TikTok? There are a lot of herbalists and spiritual people on there. And I said, she sent a video, a TikTok, and I followed it. I can't remember who it was. It was the most hilarious video I've seen in a long time. And because of that video, I tried my first TikTok and fell in love with it. Of course, it was during COVID time. So, you know, I was stuck in a house. So, and one TikTok and was out of how many I have now, but 170,000 people later, I'm stuck on TikTok.
How does it feel to have such a huge following?
It's amazing. It's scary. I'm learning a lot because the personalities here on TikTok are a little different from some of the other social media platforms I'm on. But it is very overwhelming, and I'm really grateful and thankful for it. So I really appreciate everyone who's taken the time to follow me and comment and all of that other stuff. I'm really honored.
So what do you think are some of the pros of being on the app and some of the cons? Like, what are your favorite parts of the app?
Well, surely I love the videos, though, the songs, the lip syncing and that's my favorite part because I love music. And I don't know of any other platform that offers that. Well, I guess there are some, but I like TikTok. And then the people here seem to be quite supportive of one another, depending on the number of people. I'll call it the common folk. Yeah, they're pretty supportive. The cons to it is that the council community to cancel is pretty strong here. And then some of the people I have run into some very, very mean spirited people. And so it's kind of, you know, you have to weed through the negativity because there are quite a few people varying ages. And some people can be really, really mean. And so It's there, you know, good and bad to all things. But overall, I really love TikTok.
Me too. I agree with you.
Yeah.
So tell us about your life in the church. Because that time, I remember the time you posted that picture of you and you were in your minister uniform, and I was like, no way.
Yeah, wait.
So tell us about your spiritual journey, because you have all the time in the world here to tell us about how you were raised, how you got involved in the church, and then how you became who you are now.
Yeah. Well, just like any other kind of initiated religion, m many of the times you m much of the time you're born into it. You know, of course, you know, there are those who come by it, come through it and initiated into it or became a member of it. But overall, in my family, we were born into Christianity. I come from a long line of ministers on my father's side. My grandmother, on my, yeah, my grandmother was one of the founding members of Family Church, and so there's a lot of history for my father's side of the family as far as religion, and of course my mother's side, you know, we've always been Christian. So I was raised in a Christian household, several generations. My grandmother took, you know, watched me and took care of me, so I was always in church, vacation Bible school, Sunday school. I was in it all. Choir, on various boards. And so that was my entire life. And then when I became a teenager, a young adult, I got saved, like for real. Yeah, I got saved. And I started going to various churches. Well, actually, my best friend at the time, her mother and her family, they were Pentecostals. And I was Baptist, so we didn't do that Pentecostal stuff. But it was very interesting, the experiences that I had in her church. And as I got older, it just, church was not anything that I forgot. And it just was a big part of my life, you know, starting from when you were in diapers, until, well, starting from when I was in diapers until college, you know, that was all I ever did on Sundays, where it was church. So, you know, just into adulthood. You know how it goes into adulthood and still a part of the church. The thing about it, though, I have always been a very inquisitive person, and I like to study and to research. So as I became an adult and then became part of a ministry where I became a minister, I would do the research and I found out a lot of things that we didn't teach, that wasn't taught in church per se. And I had questions. But I file them in the back of my mind, in the recesses of my mind, so as the devil, so that the devil wouldn't trick me and make me think things that aren't really true, you know. You know, So it just it was that journey that just about everybody has, you know. But when I became an adult, I became a Pentecostal. I put away my Baptist. My missionary Baptist shirt and clothes, and exchange it for a long Pentecostal skirt with socks and tennis shoes and a t-shirt with my head covered a little bit, you know, a little hair.
Oh my.
I didn't wear my head covered, but I wore some of the homeliest looking clothes I've ever seen. I look back on some of my pictures, I was like, good God. You could tell I was saved.
No, but what did the Song of Solomon say? It said you were comely.
I was
You
comely.
were comely.
I was homely. That's what
Homely. Yes,
that's what.
little sister.
Yeah, I was homely. It was a
Oh
running
my
joke.
God.
It was a running joke. You know, because in the churches that I went to, I'm gonna get to what you asked me. But in the churches that I went to, the women all had this uniform way of looking. You know, so you know, of course, it was the very modest clothing, which there's nothing wrong with that. We couldn't wear jewelry, no makeup, very, you know, very plain, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, not wearing makeup, just but very plain, not to me, not much thought was put into looking any kind of way. And then the hair was always the same. You know, you pull back in a bun, French roll with some curls on the side or something, you know, something very plain. Anyway, so the running joke is that one of the sisters always, she was really extra holy. You know, she was sanctified. And she used to always talk about how people could see God on her and knew that she was a woman of God and knew by just knowing that the Holy Spirit rests on her, you know, all these kinds of things. They knew it, you know, because she was a peculiar person and all these things that she talked about herself. And the side joke was, no, they knew that she was Pentecostal because of that old homely ass skirt she had on. I don't know if you say homely, homely skirt and that old ugly hairdo. Anybody coming out the house looking like they had to been saved. So, you know, so there was a part, you know, it was a uniform that we would wear, you know, because of what we believed we should, you know, a woman of God should look like. And I fit into that mold, into that stereotype. But, you know, as I got older, I began to, after studying, after going to, through minister's training and getting my, being ordained and all those things, starting my own ministry, and having been a, you know, minister, a lay minister, associate pastor of a church and all of that good stuff. I had a tragedy to happen to me. And the person that I loved dearly died. And I was already teetering in and out of church anyway. As a matter of fact, I had just come back to church because, you know, some years prior to that, I'd been kicked out of church. You know, out of the ministry that I was a part of, I was completely excommunicated from the ministry.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They kicked me out because I had dared to ask questions and to question the man of God. So I obviously had a devil or a demon. And actually, they prophesied over me that something terrible was going to happen to me because I dared to question the man of God. So they put me out. So, you know, it took a lot for me to go back to church, but I did. And, the person, young man that I was in love with at the time, he died. And, it made me ask the hard questions because of the circumstances around his death and the vision that I got and the experience that I had with him, at the time. And, I just asked God, what was the truth, and that, I didn't care where the truth led me. I just wanted the truth. And I heard plain as day, you know, people say this, you know, you don't really hear it. I heard it within myself. I don't think I heard a voice external of myself, but I definitely heard within me. And when I said I wanted the truth, and myself said, or God said, you sure? And I said, my answer response was, yea, Lord, I'm sure. Wherever you take me, I will go. And God said, even if I take you here, and then I had a vision. And I said, yay, Lord, I'll go. And so I woke up, and on May 15th of that day, he died. And it took me a long time to adjust to him being gone. And I ate myself into a heart attack. And I got very sick and had myocardial infarction. Is that a spontaneous?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. At 47.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was overweight. I was stressed. I worked third shift. I didn't get any sleep. And so I was diagnosed with congestive heart failure, diabetes, hypertension, sleep apnea, chronic fatigue, and obesity. And the cardiologist told me at that time, you know, he said that everything that I had was diet related and asked me if I wanted to live or if I wanted to die. And he told me that if I didn't change my way and what I was doing, that I'd be dead within that year. And so I made that change. And because of that, what I call a near-death experience, because I mean, I'd have to tell you what happened to me that brought me to this place. But I definitely had an experience. And when I came to, I thought I wasn't sure if I was in heaven or where I was. You know, I had to look around for a minute, like, am I still here? Am I still here? And so, but you know, that was the final thing. You know, it's his death, and the final thing was my own personal near-death experience that pushed me to what I would consider the truth. And I haven't gone back, you know, because I've learned in being on this road now. I've realized that I've actually come 360, a full circle, and I've made my entire revolution, my entire cycle around. And I'm in a place now where I realize that a lot of what I learned then as a Christian, I'm doing right now as a root worker. It is the Bible teaches that it's one and the self same spirit. And so, you know, this journey, being a root worker or being a spiritualist, is for me, is the same journey. I'm doing this. When I tell you, Ryan, I'm doing the same exact thing. I'm doing the same exact thing, preaching and teaching the gospel. I'm teaching the good news as an evangelist. I was ordained as an evangelist, and TikTok is the platform, and social media is the platform where I evangelize. You know.
Amen.
Hallelujah, right?
Amen. Yes. And you know, you can see it. You can see in someone's eyes and through to their soul when somebody has come around and experienced the spirit and experienced life. And yeah, I mean, man, two massively traumatic experiences for you to pull you around to that. And now at about And so how did you start pulling yourself up with the diet and all of that? Like, where did you begin
Well,
to start that?
I was when I tell you I was terrified. I think I was afraid because it wasn't that I was afraid to die. I just didn't want to leave my new grandbaby. My daughter had just had her first child, and I wanted to be around to be grandma. And so my cardiologist told me to change my diet, and I did. Within 7 days, I went raw vegan cold turkey from eating, you know, a whole chicken. I mean, I could put down some holy bird when you know. And so I went from, you know, it took me 7 days to adjust to what the doctor told me. And then I just went cold turkey as a raw vegan. And along my journey, I lost a lot of weight, changed my outlook on life. Eating healthy became a lifestyle and not something I did. And as a result of the foods that I was now putting into my body, it raised my vibration and my awareness a lot. You know, I saw things in a different way, and I still do, even though I had something to eat that I don't normally eat early today. But but it raised my vibration, and I'd say it healed my body because I don't suffer with congestive heart failure. I don't have that anymore at all. I don't have sleep apnea anymore, and I don't have chronic fatigue. I experienced artery damage as a result of it, but I have worked on that to where the last doctor's visit that I had, they couldn't find the artery damage. So I'm saying all that.
Well, that is
Isn't that
fantastic.
fantastic? What do we say?
It
Look at
is.
God. Hallelujah. Look at God.
Hallelujah. That's a
It's
miracle. It's a
a
miracle.
miracle, and miracles do happen, and sometimes it takes you to actually put it into place. You don't have to sit and wait for a miracle to happen to you. You become the miracle. You become that action and that step of faith that creates the miracle for yourself. By well, you know, thereby saving yourself. You know, and so, you know, all of us are still going to die. You know, nobody's going to live forever, but at least I have now, from that one little granddaughter who was a micro preemie and a miracle of her own, being born at 1 pound 6 ounces, to now I have four grandchildren and one on the way. And I'm still here. Thank God for that. And thank the ancestors.
Well, they say faith without works is dead,
Absolutely.
right? And you have to have the works to work your faith. And Do you help other, I mean, are do you help other people on this path to get healthy? Tell us about your practice.
Yeah, I do. As a result of the things that I experienced with my health, I started that journey of being a raw vegan. I'm now, you know, not raw, but I would consider myself plant-based. And I began to work in the health and wellness field, working in health and wellness retail. And I worked in that setting for about 4 or 5 years. And of course, then I became a certified herbalist. And it has just been my desire, because when I was in a church, you know, I was called not only to carry the good news, but I was also called to be a healer. And so that was some of the spiritual work I did in the church, was what we call deliverance ministry. What we would say here on the other side would be banishment, spiritual, malevolent energy, spirit ejectments, exorcisms, and healings, uh-huh. Right? So I'm a Reiki practitioner. I'm a master energy worker, and I'm an herbalist. And so when I deal with people spiritually, I always touch on mind, body, and spirit. You know, so if someone is asking for a money ritual, then I'm still going to deal with them on the money. I'm going to deal with them on the money ritual that they want, but I'm also going to deal with their body. You know, what are you doing with your body that's going to allow the abundance that you want to flow? How, you know, so, and what are you doing for your mind? What are you eating? I mean, what are you thinking? You know, what are you watching? And so all of those go, all of that goes into, in consideration with someone asks for spell work. So it's just not just a spell. You don't just get a spell. Not for me.
I didn't think so. I'm sure you, they get more than their money's worth when they're dealing, when they're working with you, yeah. For real. So, I mean, it just, it's like, when you talk about your practice and when we watch your videos and we see that you live the life. I mean, this isn't something you do. This isn't a cottage business for you. This being a hoodooist, being a root worker, being an evangelist, mm-hmm. This is a lifelong mission and a full-time job. It's not just something you do right. For fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sorry. And,
yeah, well, go ahead.
You know how people always say you have a choice? You know, I hear all the time, God gives you a choice. I don't believe that necessarily. I didn't have a choice. You know, now, true enough, I could have walked away. You know, yeah, I do really walk away and not done it. But the circumstances in my life made me choose this. Like I would refuse to go over those lessons again. You know, I don't want those lessons again. So I decided to follow what I believe was the path of that I was supposed to take. And I literally didn't have any choice in the matter. This is who I am and what I do. And to be honest, I believe I was told, you know, through a reading, but I've had visions and dreams about it, that I've been a medicine woman probably for about 8 lifetimes. This is all I've ever done, is been a spiritualist and a medicine woman, a root worker. And so, Ryan, I can't imagine doing anything else.
I couldn't imagine you doing anything else. And I so that now that we're there, I would love to go down the conversation of hoodoo. So could you please, I'm sure a lot of people are going to hear this podcast mm-hmm. that don't know you on TikTok, and they might have heard of the word hoodoo. And I would just love for you to define hoodoo and your practice and really what it is.
Okay. Let me first say, being that I'm in North Carolina, in the southern part of the United States, eastern southern part of the United States, hoodoo is a diasporic African and Indigenous American practice of spirituality. There are various cultures that are mingled into the practice of hoodoo, H-O-O-D-O-O. But overall, it is very is based in people of color, in a practice that of the oppressed, right? And so hoodoo is not a religion. Hoodoo is spiritual practice. It is a way of for the oppressed to kind of even the playing field of the oppression, to be able to deal with hard times. And so many people nowadays like to do a lot of the spells and do a lot of the conjuring without knowing the history and understanding how it came about. Again, hoodoo does not have any deities that we pray to. Any deities that you see people utilizing in hoodoo has been brought in by that personal practitioner. We use ancestors. Right. You're going to say that? Yeah.
I was going to say that, it's interesting that it's really the people who practice hoodoo were Protestant Christians, right? So the Bible played an important role in the
Absolutely.
practice.
Absolutely. It played an important role in the practice. However, the practice in and of itself does not have deities, which means that you can practice hoodoo and not be of any religious affiliation. Or you can practice hoodoo and be a non-Christian. But the spirituality that is used for hoodoo would be a Christian based. Again, you don't have to believe in Jesus and you don't have to believe in God to practice hoodoo. Here is why. Hoodoo I use as an umbrella term. Or the overall, like if you think of Christianity, right? Christianity can be Catholic, you can be Protestant, you can be Lutheran, you can be Pentecostal, you can be just quite, any of those denominations, right? So the umbrella is hoodoo, and under hoodoo you'll find root work, and then you'll have conjuration or conjuring, right? So you use the term, many people use the term root work and hoodoo as some synonymous terms, and they kind of are. But if you just want to look at it just plainly, root work is the practice of healing with roots and herbs and things like that, right? So it's medicine work. So you can be a hoodoo practitioner and never do conjuring and spells. Your whole premise would be healing people by using herbs, roots, and berries and stuff, herbalism, right? You
I
see him?
see. Now here's the thing, Mama. I really don't know a lot about it. So I'm probably going to ask some of those stupid questions that people don't know are going to
No
ask.
stupid questions. They're not stupid at all.
So basically what you're saying is that hoodoo as a term can be used as an umbrella to express the idea for a lot of different practitioners with individualistic ideas and concepts of God to practice hoodoo. But I just want to clarify that root work is about medicines and working with herbs and working with roots. And now I'm going to ask you a question. Hoodoo and root work are both Black American, African American traditions, right? So white people would not be root
Well,
workers. Is
I
that
now this is the gospel according to Sophia, okay? So I would say that the practice of root, well, not root work, but conjuring, and yeah, the practice of hoodoo. It's really a practice that should be done by those people whose ancestors dealt with the oppression of that day, of this time, that time. So you're born, really born into root work. And let me also say, hoodoo, let me also say that many people in our families and in my family, we didn't call it hoodoo or anything. It just was the way of life. So you wouldn't go to the house and say, oh, I see you a root worker. Oh, I see you practice hoodoo. We didn't ever talk about it. We just know you went over to Big Mama's house and you got something wrong with your foot, Big Mama go outside, get something out the backyard, come back in, chew it up in her mouth, spit on it, and then put it on your foot. Root work, right? Okay, so you go to, you know, something happened to Big Mama's great grandbaby, and Big Mama go back in the back room, and she pull out her Bible, and then she recites the scripture, and then she go to her kitchen and she gets some herbs, and as she sings over those herbs, and as she prays and asks the Lord or who, however she's praying to fix the situation, then that becomes conjuration. You see what I'm saying? You're still using the roots, but the whole premise is to change a situation, whatever that situation is, right? Okay.
Right. And I think that's a crucial key, is what I'm trying to point out and get the point across to people, is that these practices are based in
Yes.
ancestry, and they're based on an ethnicity and a tradition of practices that come down through a people, through their culture. This is a
Yes.
cultural heritage, and it is not okay. And I'm saying this, I'm not trying to get you to say this, I'm going to say it. It is not okay for people to feel that they can colonize the spiritual world and start doing
Right.
practices that are outside of their ancestry. Like, people shouldn't be trying to conjure the dead who are not in their
Right.
own
I now
ancestors.
I agree. I agree with that. And the only reason why, if you're conjuring the dead, is just that you were led, and I understand people are led to do a particular work. You know, it's kind of hard to create a line of demarcation between what's, you know, what you believe is spiritual or what you were led to do and what you believe you're supposed to do within your own self. Like, I feel like this is right. You could be wrong. It just be, could be you, right? But when we do a lot of graveyard work, because we work with spirits of the dead, and I'm told there are other diasporic religions and practices that work with the dead too. And there are other folk magic, you know, folk practitioners from other places, even European places, that work with the dead as well, you know. But in the way it's done is what makes it cultural. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody's got ancestors, you know. Right. And
Right.
so you have your direct ancestors, you have your higher ancestors, like maybe people who have died who are part of the community, who's led the community, Martin Luther King Jr. and, you know, Malcolm X. Those are elevated ancestors. You have your direct bloodline lineage, like your mom, your grandmama, your mother, your great grandfather. That's your direct bloodline lineage. And then you have your bloodline, Uncle Bobo, Cousin Leroy, you know, Sister Sumai or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of people. And then, you know, with me, I go to the graveyard a lot. I don't know those people in that yard. You know, in the graveyard that I go to, I don't know them. I know that the graveyard that I like to visit, that people see me visit on TikTok a lot, that the graveyard was for this church that's in a local church. Many of the African American members were buried there in that almost forgotten graveyard there. And so I go and I sit and I commune with the energies that are there, because we know after 18, eight, you know, from 1892 until today, I don't think anybody's bones sitting in there. But I don't think they are in that respect, you know. But the energy, we're talking about the energy of it all. And the vibration, and there are places that have vortexes and portals and openings. And so a graveyard is one of those places. It's a great concentration of energy. And so, you know, I have a thing about people buying graveyard dirt and gritting graveyard dirt and using it in their spiritual practice, and it's not part of, it's not in and of itself, it's just not part of their cultural practice, not what you do, you know, it's not culturally what you do. So no, I don't think people who are not part of the culture should really be practicing hoodoo. There are a whole lot of other things that they can practice within their own ethnicity and culture, you know.
Actually, there were Germans that were German and Irish people that came over to the New World, who got pushed down into Pennsylvania, because in New England, the people were very, they're Puritans. New England was very puritanical. And a lot of these people that came over from Germany and from Ireland, many different Christian backgrounds, they were Christian too. And basically, there are traditions of Catholic folk magic and other Protestant folk magic traditions that were brought over here by Germans and Irish people, that that if anybody who has a European or a Western European heritage can just look right to the Appalachian Mountains and Appalachia for these conjure traditions that were practiced by these immigrants of Ireland and immigrants of German. So that's why I never understand why someone has to be so adamant. They have to be so adamant that they have the right to be able to do something, especially, and this is my favorite one, because as long as you do it respectfully, girl, if I had a nickel for every time I heard someone say, well, as long as you do something respectfully, you can do whatever you want. And it's like, whoa. Back up with that level of entitlement, you know?
That's like saying, you know, you invite me over to your house and I'm really nice and I really appreciate it. But you know what? I like your your wallet is sitting right there. And I just said, you know, I like your wallet and I'm going to treat your wallet very good. And, you know, just let me have it. I'm just going to take it, you know, no harm, no foul, and walk out with it. How would you feel about that?
Exactly. And I mean, I have heritage that comes from the Caribbean, and everybody who follows me on TikTok knows that I'm really into the spiritism that comes out of Puerto Rico, which is where my family comes from. And it's the same thing. Like, we have something called simis. They were the items that the Taino Indians saw as to be sacred objects or things that housed the ancestors. It was a form of ancestral veneration. And if I saw somebody, you know, who, you know, has no idea what they're doing, putting simis on their altar, trying to work with these indigenous spirits from the Caribbean, not even knowing anything about them and being completely removed from the culture, I'd be pissed. I'm not going to lie. I would be uncomfortable to see someone else doing these things.
Now, I will say, Ryan, that because people are so ethnically diverse, that it is sometimes hard to pinpoint, you know. So here's why I say this. So I am 87% or 89% African, West African, specifically Congolese and Nigerian. Okay. And, you know, all of the other countries there. There's a few other ones. I'm also 11% European, Scandinavian, and Finnish. So, and then the 2%, I am South Asian, which would be, I think, maybe Hindu, you know, something like that. So now, technically, that's what they say, but I know that, you know, I'm Native American. I do have Native American. We found the information on the Turing Roll. My father's a family historian, documented. But anyway, with that being said, I could, within my own ethnic background, genetic makeup, if I wanted to, I could participate in something that belonged, what people would say would be traditionally European, because there is 11% of me that is European. However, the dominant part of me is not. And so as a result of that, what I did was a divination, or what I had done was a divination to find out what and where I'm supposed to be placed and what I'm supposed to practice. Hence, I'm a root worker, a hoodoo practitioner. I could have done African traditional religion, but that's not what I was called to. I am called to this particular practice. And so I would say to people who are trying, you know, trying to figure out what they fit, where they fit, or if they want to do hoodoo and they're not a part of the culture, find out where you are. Not just feel entitled. Well, you know what? Nobody can, you know, corner the market on spirit, and spirit told me I can do this. No, you liked it. You saw what it was being done. You liked the way it looked, and now you identify with it. Do a divination.
Right. And right there with you in the traditions like voodoo, mm-hmm. Haitian voodoo, Santeria, Palo Mayombe, and a lot of other traditions, most traditions that come out of the Caribbean, in order to get started on that path, mm-hmm. you have to go to a Babalawo, or you have to go to a Mambo, or someone who is a priest or a priestess in these traditions. Yeah. And get a reading to find out whether or not those spirits have
yeah.
even invited you to come and be a part. And so traditionally, the first place to start is to get a reading from someone who mm-hmm. is actually in the tradition,
mm-hmm.
who practices, who can tell you whether or mm-hmm. not there's a place for you
mm-hmm.
in the religion. And that's pretty much a lot of the traditions that come out of the Caribbean are initiation based. So they're not closed mm-hmm. they're ethnically. Many different kinds of people can get initiated if they feel like the spirit has called them. And if the priest in the tradition have said, yes, mm-hmm. this is something for you. But once again, it's about taking the proper steps to know Definitely. Whether or not, you know, Yep. Right, because it's a license. It's a license that you receive, you know, when you get initiated or when you grow mm-hmm. up in these traditions. Now,
let me give you an example of that today. In Christianity, you know, I was an ordained minister. In Christianity, before you became an ordained minister, you had to go through minister's training, seminary, theological seminary, or something. Right. Before you could get your mm-hmm. collar and say that you are a minister, you had to go through the process of initiation. Right. Now, there are many people mm-hmm. who don't do that and they feel as though they're called. Right. And they teach the gospel. Right. They just teach it. Those are the ones you wind up finding that they are misinterpreting the scripture because they don't have any education on it. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So before, there's a saying that we used to say in church, some are called, the Bible talks about few are called, some are called, but few are chosen. We used to say, some are called, some are sent, and some just went. And so, you know what I'm saying? So we're talking about the just went people. So the people who are practicing hoodoo who just feel as though, you know, you can't tell me if I can't do a honey jar. You can't tell me la, 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 whatever they're going to say, right? You can't tell spirit what to, you know, that chose me or whatever they say, right? You're one of those who just went because I can't, boy, I'm about to go down that road.
Go down that road, girl, because that's why I
Let me
you
tell you something,
phone.
Ryan. I had a person who wanted to learn hoodoo. And she wanted to learn hoodoo. She felt that she was called to do hoodoo. And she did all her little magical workings and had her little jars and her little crystals. And she just had her little cards. And it was so cute. I sent her out to the graveyard to go and stand out there in the graveyard. You know, we go at night. You go to the graveyard. And I'm going to need you to stand right there in the graveyard and then be led to which grave that you're going to use because you need to go ahead and get some dirt and all the things I told her to do. The first thing she said, well, I don't think I should go to the graveyard at night. Girl, you say, I'll sit in the car. We wait and I'll take a, you know, whatever we need to take, a bat, a gun or whatever. You feel like somebody's going to jump out the bushes, but I'm going to need you to go. She couldn't do it. Well, this is part of the practice.
Mm.
This is part of what you do. And so, you know, as long as it's love and light, and as long as it's cute little jars, they're okay. But when you tell someone to go down there and get that chicken down the road, and I'm gonna need you to cut the chicken's throat and put the blood on the thing, then they're like, oh my God, I can't do that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I absolutely know 100% what you're saying.
So, I know that hoodoo does not have an initiation process, and I don't think it should. But daggummit, before you become a hoodoo practitioner, you need to sit up under somebody and learn how to do it. You know, because you can really hurt somebody and you can hurt yourself. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something funny. I know I didn't mean to cut you off. I'll tell you something funny, though. Had a student. Well, she was kind of my student. It was one of my daughter's friends. And she watched me on Facebook and she watched me on YouTube. And she calls me, Mama, Mama, this guy is bothering me. And he's done all these things. And I'm going to do a jar. I said, okay, you know how to do them? Yeah, I know how to do them. Okay. So she did her jar and she put all his belongings or whatever she wanted to put in the jar, what have you. So I don't know, maybe a couple of days later, it might even been a week later, she calls me in a panic. Mama, 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 something's going on. She says, I think my jar is really working. She says, but it looks weird. And I say, well, what did you do? She says, well, I put his things in there and I put some herbs in there, what blah, 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 blah. I put some Clorox in there. And she said, and I put some pee in there, I peed in it. And I was shaking every day. I said, you did what? She said, I peed in it. And I said, what does your jar look like? She says, well, it's smoking. I said, is the top bubbled up? She says, yeah. I said, your jar is about to explode. You're about to have pee everywhere. You're about to have a piss bomb. She says, what do you mean? Because she put Clorox. Ryan,
Keep going.
Girl,
I'm dying over
the girl
here.
Put Clorox in it because she thought, well, I'm going to put Clorox in it because I'm going to do this. And then she peed in it thinking that she, you know, did her sour jar is what she did. I said, you mean you don't know chemistry, do you? Because see, that's what it is. You don't know chemistry. You know that urine and Clorox makes ammonia. It makes a volatile mixture. And you're about to blow up stuff. Well, at least explode the jar.
Well, I was going to say, quick, put that shit under his car or something. Gonna blow something up. You better take it quick. Put it somewhere. It's going to blow up on the motherfucker.
She made a pee bomb. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's so, you know, that's the thing that most people don't understand. That the truth is this is chemistry. That's why I'm big on science. You know, there's a meaning behind certain herbs that you use. And if you don't have the training, you're going to mix things together that can not only harm you, it can harm somebody you give it to.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. We're talking about real substances that do real things. When I'm telling people, I tell them, I say, look, if you're going to use an herb, you need to know how it works medicinally as well as magically. Like if you're going to use an herb in magic, you need to know what that thing does, you know, period. And there's so many people I see practicing, I'd say in quotations, magical herbalism that don't know absolutely anything about the actual medicinal uses of the plants. And so I'm a real big stickler for that. But when you're telling me about that girl who just couldn't go to the cemetery, It makes me say, you know what? Her spirits would not let her. That's what I would say from my tradition. I would say her spirits wouldn't let her. Mm-hmm. They just would not let her do it because, you know, they know.
Yeah.
They knew. She didn't know.
Yeah.
But
it could have been
knew,
any of those things. Know? I mean, it just could have been she was scared as hell. I mean, but it could be just what you said, Ryan. Her spirits wouldn't let her. And that's why she was afraid, you know? So it manifests however our spirits manifest. Our spirits may manifest differently in each person. So you could be absolutely correct about that. And, but people are not aware. They just want the cute stuff. You know, they just want the part that looks so nice. You know, if Sephora can sell sage, then I know we're in trouble. You know what I'm saying? If they can sell white sage, I know we're in trouble. And we're talking about beauty products and beauty stores. I can go to the dollar store and we have a Five Below store. Five Below store, they sell smudge sticks. And I'm looking at this like, are you serious? The dollar store sells smudge sticks? you know, everywhere.
Oh, I see him
you know?
Everywhere.
And I don't even want to get on the tangent about using what, you know, who should use white sage or not. I'm not even going to get on that. I'm just going to say, as an herbalist, it has various medicinal qualities. And of those medicinal qualities that it has, the therapeutic value of it, it is an antiviral, antifungal, antimicrobial, and it's another one, viral, fungal, bacterial. So if it's going to kill or prohibit the growing of bacteria, prohibit the growing of fungus, it's going to clear, cleanse, and all this other kinds of stuff, you need to know how to use it. You're just going to burn it. I just gotta burn it because it smells so good. No.
Okay, Karen. Okay, little Karen witch. Karen witchcraft. That's what we call
it. But
that,
you know, people do it
Karen
all over.
Witchcraft.
You know, Rashika. Rashika do it too. You know what I'm saying? I just like sage. And I'm telling people, you know, if you're going to cleanse someone, why are you saging everybody? Why are you smudging everybody with sage? You can smudge with other things. And these are the things that people do not study. Don't take the time to study. They like what's trending. And so, right? So your spiritual
it
practice,
is.
You know, you being what you call it, a spirit, what you call it? What is a
spiritista? Spiritist.
And what you practice, that should not be trending. You know, the practices that you do within your spirit, it should not be trending, and people should not be jumping on the bandwagon. Oh, that's, I really like that, so I'm going to do that. No, absolutely not. So that's my own soapbox. I'm going to leave that alone.
Yeah. There. Oh, no, that soapbox is great. I got my own soapbox over here. I jump on it all the time, and it's true. I mean, and it's TikTok is miraculously fast at manifesting and also getting rid of trends very quick. Like, I can't even tell you how many magical trends I've seen pop up in the, I don't know, 90 days that I've been on TikTok. It was a honey cross on the tongue. What? Then it was putting razor blades in jars. And I mean, I saw the girl. I liked the girl that did the razor blades in the jars and all of that. But the thing that I'm saying is, what I'm saying is that things come
absolutely.
So fast and they go so fast on TikTok, and they trend. And then what grills me is that, well, people will come to me and they'll say, you know, Mama Sunfire said to do this, blah, 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 or Witchfoot told me to do this, blah, blah, blah. What do you think? And it's like, you know, don't ask me, you know, don't ask me what I think of other practitioners' practices, because I, you know, it's not my business what other practitioners do. It's not.
I agree with you 100%.
And it's those people who are coming around, like they're constantly asking for permission. It's like, can I do this? Can I do that? Can I do this? Is it okay if I do this? Is it okay if I do that? And that's just one thing that is tired for me, really tired, is the asking for permission to do things. But you know what? At the same time, there is a lot of kids. There's a lot of kids on TikTok. And this is one of the only outlets that they have in order to learn about this stuff. I mean, it's amazing to me that any parent, I love all my baby witches out there, but it's amazing to me that any parent is going to hand, you know, a child, and I say child, like 10, 13, 11 years old, 12 years old, 14, whatever, a phone, and allow them to download TikTok and get on it and just leave them completely unsupervised on the app, because there's a lot of stuff on there, like bad stuff on there, you know? But if this is the only way that the little witches are able to learn something, then the people who are actually adults have to act responsible. And that's the problem. I don't see adults in their, I'd say, 30s, 40s, 50s, even older than that, acting very responsible as far as putting out information is concerned.
And let me tell you how much I agree with that. When I first started, I was, you know, putting videos out, and I would show, you know, how to do spells and things like that. And I would always, No, I always try to do a disclaimer. And then I started thinking, I did one not too terribly long ago. And I started thinking, you know what? Really, I don't want anybody doing this. I don't want anybody doing this if you don't understand it. So I stopped putting ingredients. You know, I stopped giving so much information on it. Just show you certain things, but not everything and not all things, you know. And then I get I've gotten quite a few young people wanting me to help them. And I had one young lady, I think she was like 16, and the answer was absolutely not. I not unless you get your parents a permit. I get your parents' permission, and I don't know how you're gonna do that. I'm not getting ready to tell you what to do. I'm not doing it. And only reason I say that because I really wouldn't want the child to go and get it from anywhere else, you know, a non-reputable place. However, there have to be a line where you give information to children. I mean, I don't feel comfortable giving information to anybody's child, really. You know, so it's kind of, you know, I'm not sure where to place that, but we definitely have to be aware and concerned and careful about what kind of information we put out. This is true. So I do fall into that trap, and I'm going to, moving forward, I think I'm going to do a little bit better, be a little bit more conscientious and diligent about not arming people with information or not giving them enough information for them to make it, you know, correct. Just not giving them the information. It's too risky, you know.
I 100% agree with you because when I first got on the TikTok app, I kind of had that same perception. Oh, this is going to be really nice. I'm going to be able to show people how to cast spells. I'm going to be able to show people how to do this and do that with these ingredients and this and that. And then I also realized really fast, wait a minute, this is not the kind of information that, you know, I really want to be putting out there because for one thing, it's your secrets. It's your mysteries, it's your secrets, it's you working with your spirits and your spirits guide you. You know, why would you put that out there for everyone in the world to see? One. And then number two, right, that any information you put online is going to be used to weaponize somebody in order to act. So I get it. I think the biggest problem is that the kids are going to be there
It's true.
regardless
This is
whether you
true.
want them to or not.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to, you know, it's
Yeah.
a fine line, and sometimes, you know, I just don't know where to on which side of the line to stand. So, you know, just each day is something different. And so today I may say no, you know, I absolutely not going to do it, and then somewhere, you know, in a day or two, I feel like, you know, I feel really okay with this somewhere. And you know, but now
Right.
going back to what you asked me before about the pros and cons of TikTok, one of the cons is that people are so, and I said this, that are so mean sometimes, that anything that you do or say, they like to pit one person against the other because some people are just so hungry for drama and problems. And I am purposing in my heart to be not part of the drama. You know, sometimes you get attacked, you know, and out of being human, out of your humanity, you know, you want to respond and you say what you have to say or you defend yourself or whatever. But moving forward, I feel like if someone gives misinformation, I'm gonna do my best to share the information that I know about it. And we don't have to argue. I don't have to cuss you out if you don't make me, and then you don't have to cuss me out. I don't want to make you, you know, I don't want to create that energy. And that is definitely, you know, bad energy. And sometimes people just sit at Ryan. Sometimes people just sit around looking and waiting for something to pop off so that they can leech off of that energy and create more drama. And really, at my age, I'm 55 years old. I ain't got time for it. I'm, you know, I'm playing with my grandbabies, you know. I get time. So, you know.
Well, I just hit 40
You
and
got a
I
little
still got
play.
a little bit of time
Got a little
left.
play. Yeah, I know. I understand.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Sometimes my spirits like to fight.
Yeah.
I'm not going to
I do.
lie.
Yeah,
Sometimes they like to
absolutely.
fight.
I do too.
So.
I used to, when I was young, Ryan, I used to, you know, I used to be a fighter. I used to fight, you know, for real, like fight boys, fight girls. I mean, I had those hands at one time, you know, so fighting is not far, you know, far from me. But I had to remember, you know, okay, so let's not, you know, let's not.
So what I'm going to do is because I was going to keep
okay.
my interviews to about an hour and we are on an hour,
okay.
but I guess I want to end on a light note. So I would just want
sure.
to kind of rapidly ask you some questions and you can just answer them.
Well, I have a couple.
What's your favorite color?
So warm colors are my favorite, red, orange, or yellow.
Okay. What's
Pie?
Your favorite dessert?
My favorite is sweet potato
what kind
pie.
Of pie?
But pie.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yes,
you're
I
kidding
love
me because I love sweet potato pie. So what would be like soul food for you? Something that you love to eat. It's like your comfort food, your meal. It's the meal that you need when you need
so,
to feel refreshed.
Believe
or,
it or not,
you
my
know?
Comfort food, if it's cooked, would be like cabbage, collard greens, beans, and maybe some cornbread. Not meat anymore. It would be, yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like, however, I do like chocolate. Sometimes chocolate comes up and I have to have me a piece of chocolate. But not a lot. I do.
Do you drink coffee?
Generally, I drink coffee when I'm out. So, but I don't drink it at home anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, I drink tea.
So what is a
Color
couple
Purple.
Of your favorite movies of all time?
Harlem mm-hmm. Nights. Well, there's another one and I know, mm-hmm. To Serve with Love with Sidney Poitier. Yeah. Those are my all time favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great choices. What kind of music
I like
do you
all
like
kinds
to listen
of music,
to?
But my on the top of my list, I like funk. So I love old bands, funk music, Parliament Funkadelic, The Average White. I like
Get
funk.
Out of here.
I like funk. And then, you know, I like old R&B, all the old rhythm and blues. From back in the 70s and 60s and 70s. I like that. Yeah. Old school.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
That is so great. What are you currently reading? Like, do you have a book? Do you have like I'm sure like you have tons of books that you always want to read all the time, but
you know what?
What do you have?
I don't
open?
Have anything open right now. I've read all the books and it's so funny because I can't right now, I'm having a brain fart and I can't think of one title. I can't think of one book that I've read right now. Well, I tell you what, I'll tell you my favorite one. My favorite book was The Alchemist.
Okay.
But was it Paulo Coelho, whatever? I don't know how to pronounce his name. The Alchemist was my favorite book.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I didn't
it's,
read that,
a
but now
very
I feel
like good
I
book.
Have to.
Very good. Mm-hmm.
And are you watching any particular series on Netflix or anything specific
no,
you're following on TV?
I don't really watch TV, but, you know, I watch the internet. But the last thing that I watched on Netflix was Lovecraft Country. I watched.
Okay. Yeah, I saw
you
the first three
the
episodes, but I haven't seen the rest
Man,
of it.
Man, I was upset. Yeah, that's the last thing I saw.
So if you could give like you know, a few words of advice to the people who look up to you, who, you know, are just looking for some kind of some advice for you from you about how to continue on going down the spiritual path? What would you say
for people on the spiritual path, as well as my advice for anybody on any path for any reason, is research. Don't believe nothing anyone tells you. You look it up for yourself. And then when you look it up, you better make sure that whatever you're looking up, you always look up the counter argument of that thing. I just did a TikTok about it. Please do not believe what people tell you. Research it for yourself, then come to your own conclusion based on the evidence that you have found. That's what you do.
And that's another thing that I really love about you, because you have respect for science.
Science is magic. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mama Sunfire, thank you so much for doing this interview. Very, very exciting. I'm sure everyone's going to really love this. And you're fantastic. And I follow you and love everything you do. And I hope that everything continues to go along just fine. And TikTok and you're in my experience.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it,
too. TikTok only gets better over time.
Thank you. Peace.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, everybody, that was our interview. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you subscribe to this podcast if you're on TikTok. You can actually go to my website, which is brujoryan.com, and you'll find my link tree to all my social platforms. So next time, we are going to be interviewing the one and only Witchfoot. So you best subscribe so that you can find out when that interview hits the streets. Peace out, y'all.